Take your Bibles and turn to Romans 13. If you don't have anything to do, you can always turn to Romans 13 and have fun, because it covers a whole gamut of stuff. Romans 13 is really cool. I don't know if they broke the chapter properly. Probably didn't. But it starts out with your responsibility to leadership. And not as the Billy Graham Bible puts it, to policemen, but to leadership in the church. And then it talks about how important it is to pay your debt. And it really is talking about a debt of love. And that's what you owe all believers. And so you'll see it go from your debt to leadership to your debt to all believers. And then it gets into, in verse 9, at the very last of verse 9, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love. Love is always the fulfilling of the law. And it says that in verse 10. If you look in the Old Testament and you realize all the things that the Old Testament believers had to do, and you think, oh my gosh. Or as Preston puts it, he always says the OMG in his emails. Oh my God. I can just see him doing that. It doesn't matter what it's about. There were trees over there. Oh my God, there's trees over here, you know? And I think one of them was, oh my God, I love the pillow that you sent me. You know, I can sleep at night now. But he's so funny. But love is the fulfilling of the law. And if you look at all the things that these guys had to do, you go, oh my gosh, it's just, that they had to do, it was a lot. It was just, you couldn't even comprehend it. If I took you into something like that, you'd rebel and shoot yourself because you couldn't do it. You're too free. You're too liberal. Even if you're Republican, you're too liberal. Okay? Because your mind has never been raised like that. I don't care how bad your mom is. Or your dad it was, or whatever. You've never been forced under that kind of regime. You just had never been under that. You couldn't do it. You'd say, yeah, I could. I say, no, you couldn't. Because you weren't born into it. You have no comprehension of what it's like to have to face 900 or more rules before you get out of bed. Before you walk to the bathroom, before you go into the kitchen, depending on what day it is, no idea. No idea. And I don't expect you to have an idea. I don't want you to have an idea. I don't want you to feel like you even have to have an idea. But if you ever wonder what it would be like to fulfill the law, to be past the law and be completely free from it, it's summed up in one word, love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If you understand love and your obligation and responsibility to love, you are fulfilling the law. In terms of all the activity that was ever required to be righteous. Well, that brings up a subject too, that a righteous person is a loving person. And if you're going to be righteous, and there's not a one of you in here that would say, I'm not righteous. Every one of you know you're righteous in God's eyes, but what about your actions? That's different. You have to be loving. You just have to be loving. You have to drop all the pretense. You have to drop all the reason, all the rationale that keeps you from being loving and say, I have to be loving. You have to look past all the idiosyncrasies of people's lives and all the insanity that seems to pop up at any given time throughout a day, hour, or even minute. And say, I'm going to love. You have to look past their weaknesses. You have to look past their desires. You have to look past their dreams. You have to look past their rationale, their passions, their direction in life. You have to look past everything and say, I'm going to love. That's all you have to do. You have to be a stake in the wilderness, a post alone at times. Because there's nowhere to gather your strength but from the word that says love is the fulfilling of the law. You'll be required to love when there's no real reason for it, when there's no direction for it. You'll feel as if you're alone and you're in a wilderness where there's no impetus for it. There's nobody telling you to love. There's nobody asking you to love. There's no reason except for the verse that says, love is the fulfilling of the law. It comes down to what you believe, not what you see. It comes down to what you believe. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it also says that the just shall live by faith. It comes down to what you believe. Oh, you'll see plenty of examples. You'll have to make plenty of decisions. Am I going to love today? Am I going to fulfill the law today? But it's not really fulfilling the law, because you can't fulfill the law. That's not your obligation. But it's a parallel, in that if you wanted to accomplish all the things that every Old Testament believer had to do, there's only one four-letter word that you could do that would ever bring it about, and that would be love. Well, in the first part of verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And I suppose one of the grandest things that love does is that it dispels ill. So when and where you have ill, you don't have love. When and where you have ill feelings, you don't have love. When and where you have ill actions, you don't have love activated. Love has no ill. They say you can't put love in a Bunsen burner in your science lab and heat it up and get hot love, but you can't put it in a Bunsen burner at all and analyze it. All you can do is do it. And if you were to take out the imaginary ingredient of love, the one thing you'd never find is ill. There is no ill in love. There's no evil in love. There's no malice in love. There's no bad in love. There's no conspiracy in love. There's nothing in love that would harm another person's heart, soul, mind, or strength, because those are the four ingredients that God requires in a person's love to Him. And when you walk in love, you must always be cognizant that you would never bring harm to any of those four aspects of a person's life. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, we know the second one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, upon which this is based. But we know that a man is to love God with four factors of life: the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength. And as you endeavor to love, as you endeavor to bring your love out, bring it out in your strength, bring it out in your soul, bring it out in your mind. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. You bring it out in all four of those areas, and then you never allow any evil or ill to come against another person's heart, soul, mind, and strength, because they have to be fully capable to love God as well. What you're doing is you're promoting a cause by love. You're promoting a love cause. Not only that you as a group of believers love each other, And that's important. But there's a greater importance in that the group of believers loves God. Because one day we're all bowing down. You know, today we wonder if we'll ever be able to bow down to one another. But one day we're all going to be bowing down. And that's something to keep in mind. In verse 11 it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." No matter when you read that verse, it's always true. But it starts talking about waking up. And it's interesting that the wake-up call comes right after the love call. It is not possible to wake up without love. You cannot expect a person to wake up out of a spiritual slumber if there's no love. It's not going to happen. If you want to help somebody, love has got to be there first. I promote this in our family. I tell this to my wife, and I even teach my kids. They've got to have their liberties. They've got to have their room. They've got to have the love, you know, because we've already laid down the guidelines. We've laid down the rules. We spent the last 19 years doing that, starting with Catherine. Well, there's got to be love at some point to encourage them to adopt those rules. You can't just keep browbeating a child at 20 years old, 30 years old, expect them to do it. It's all about love, and you have to have hands off at some point. And if you don't have the hands off, then you get some serious problems. So I'm a big proponer, or however you'd say that. I adopt the proponent of being a proponer, I don't know how you say that word, of promoting love. I think it's a lot easier to go up and like to Jeremy, I'll say, "You know, honey, that's really not the best way to say that. I'd recommend maybe you say it like this, because here's what people think when you do say it like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?" And then he'll go, "Yeah." I could scream at him. I could yell at him, but I already know he withdraws if I do that, so I just don't even do that. And all the kids are like that, right, Michelle? We have to be very careful about that. And so love has that's just an example, but it has an ability to motivate. It has an ability to form things in the other person that otherwise would never form. Well, it's interesting, though, to see that if you're going to have an awakening, you've got to have a loving. The love has to happen first, and then you'll have an awakening. And how many of you have not gone through that? When you've been low, when you've been down, the last thing you ever wanted was somebody unloving. In fact, when the first loving person came around, that's when you first opened up in your time of trouble. It's just the way we are. God made us that way. And so we just need to learn more about it. In verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." It's an interesting phenomena, but always true, that after the initial onslaught of love, there must be an introduction of light. If you ever want to achieve an awakening as you're working with another person, and you've already laid out the grandeur of love, the next step would be the introduction of light. It is the introduction of light that brings about vision, that brings about the ability to see. Whereas with no light, it's darkness. Isn't that the situation the person is in? They're in darkness. If you're not awake, you're in darkness. Yeah. A bedroom is typically dark. Now, we know that. But spiritually speaking, it's the same way. And even though you might not equate it with the light in this room and the darkness in the closet, spiritually speaking, there is a such thing as truth and untruth, or light and darkness. And it's the introduction of the truth that is light. And so when you have love, no ill, no evil, then you have the ability, and perhaps the ground has now been prepared that you can plant the truth. That's the light. And it's that planting of truth. Now, I recognize that this is taking it a little deeper, but it's that planting of truth that dispels the fear, the evil, or the darkness, however you'd like to call it, the pains, the problems, the trials, the tribulations, the pressures, the defeat, the whole lack of godliness. That's what dispels it. But don't ever try it without love. Don't be a hard Christian. Don't be a meanie. You don't need that. It doesn't do any good. I just get an absolute kick out of it. Now, I'm a little prideful because I really try to be nice. I have a side in me that I show people most of the time, and it's a nice side. I very seldom am mean. I don't remember very often being mean, but I used to be like that, but I'm not that way anymore. I was telling my kids the other day how I used to be so mean to my brother Mark. And I was not nice. I don't know when it started, but it did. And I do know when it ended. And that's the situation that I was describing to them. My brother Mark and I went to the same biblical research college, albeit he was 2 years after me. So we were lapped in our grades, but we were at the one campus for a year together, off and on for the year. And that's when I was confronted with this problem that I had. And I was of a mind that I really couldn't find it to be really nice to him. I was impatient. I would say things that really weren't loving. I was rather curt with him. And I just treated him like he was kind of a lowlife. And I did this all the time. But then one day it dawned on me, you know, that's not right. And I think that it dawned on me, as I described to the kids, because the year before that, I was working with leadership. I always work with leadership. It just seems I always end up at the high levels, which is fine. And this one leader came up to me one day and said, "Why do you always have a chip on your shoulder?" Now, this is after a year of having a chip on my shoulder, and that's a whole nother story. But I had nothing to say. I couldn't say I didn't have a chip on my shoulder, that I didn't carry around this ridiculously negative attitude. I just stood there. And that caused a whole series of things to transpire in my life. Well, a year later, I was on campus with my brother, Mark, and I realized after yet another incident that I was treating him badly. There was no love in what I was doing. And it rocked my soul so much so that within minutes I ran after him in tears and apologized and cried for like 3 or 5 minutes, just telling him how sorry I was, how horrible I had been, and I knew it, and that I never should have been like that, and that I'll never do it again, and I've never done it again, and I'm proud of myself for that. It was a most difficult time, but it was a most rewarding time. And it was that kind of thing that brought love out in my life. I've had my own challenges, and I know you've had yours too. I know that you deal with people and with situations that push you to your limit. But I'm telling you, when it comes to love, you've got to make the choice. You've got to decide, because it will refresh your life unlike anything else. It will bring about a change in you that revitalizes you to the point that you think Jesus Christ has come and gone. You'll think you're standing before the throne of God because you feel so purged, so healed, if you go through anything like that. And I thank God for the things I went through, for the changes I was able to go through, even so that I could be before you today. Because if I hadn't gone through some of those, I couldn't be here. But I pride myself in being a nice guy. I really do. I want to be nice. I want to be kind. I want to bring goodness into people's lives. Now, I joke with my kids. I tell them, hey, why don't you just pretend to be loving today? Let's just all pretend, okay? Well, I know that sounds kind of squirrely, but I'll tell you what. If they're pretending, it's as good as good for me. Because I'd rather see the pretending than the other. I'm not pretending, though. When you see me, that's what you get. That's what I am. And I do things to bless people. I want to give to them. I want to bring good into their lives. I want to do good works. I want to be loving. Perchance, I can cast away some evil and put in the truth. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get to do that with everybody, but I guarantee you that the reward's yours. The reward's yours. You think, well, yeah, but doing a good work for somebody else, isn't it theirs? Maybe. But it's really yours. Because you're the one that walks away wholesome. You're the one that walks away satisfied. You're the one that walks away fulfilled. You're the one that walks away revived. And there's no doubting that. There's no questioning that. When you realign your life to the point that you're doing this, you're loving, you're casting evil out of you, and you're removing it from the situations, planting in the very truth that delivered you so that they could be delivered, there's no doubt that you're bringing nothing but good. Now, you might feel alone, you might feel directionless, but always come back to the word that says, love worketh no ill, love is the fulfilling of the law. And perchance you can cause somebody to awake. You can bring an awakening right where you are. And that to me is one of the most powerful things that you could do. Let's just read those last couple verses. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You are going to battle in this type of situation. It's just so great. Let us walk honestly. That's the word seemly in love. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. That chambering and wantonness is talking about jumping from sack to sack, believe it or not. Sexual stuff. Not in strife and envying. And that envying is another characteristic of love, the hot-headedness. Don't have it. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So if you're not walking in love, you're walking after the flesh. A spiritual woman, a spiritual man walks in love. And if you're not spiritual, you're not walking in love at all. Okay?